Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:20. It says, now then, we are ambassadors. Come on, I love that word. We are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled of God. I'm going to use that first portion of scriptures. We are ambassadors for Christ. Let's pray. Father, I love you. God, I praise you. God, I thank you for all your blessings, all your goodness, all your mercy. I ask you, Lord, just to move in a mighty way tonight upon our minds, upon our hearts, and upon our spirits. Let everything that I say be your words, everything that I think be your thoughts, everything that I do your actions, God. And I ask you, Lord, to let the minds, the ears comprehend and hear, God, what it is that you would be speaking tonight. Father, we ask you to do it all in the mighty name of Jesus. We bind the devil. We loose you to be God. Anything you want to do, do it, Lord, in this place. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. How many of you know what an ambassador is? Anybody know what an ambassador is? Maybe some of us don't. It's someone who is there on behalf of a nation or a kingdom or in standing in the gap and speaking with the authority and with the ability and with the dominion. Come on. They are there to get deals worked out. They're there to talk about political situations. They're to find a solution to problems. They're to shake hands, hug necks, kiss babies when the president or the king can't be there. And they are literally there as an extension of the authority of a nation. Do you hear me? And so if we know that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is Jesus, and if we know that he's in control of everything, if we know that he's the head, if we know that he's the leader, if we know that he's the supreme one, then what kind of honor it must be for us to be declared as an ambassador for Christ. Do you hear me? It's an honor to be an ambassador for the President of the United States and the U.S. government. It would be an honor to be an ambassador for any of the other large nations or powerful entities of this world. But how much more, how much greater of an opportunity and a benefit and a blessing is it for us to be ambassadors to the largest kingdom that has the most power, the greatest army, the most wise king, that there's never been a battle lost, there's never been a war lost, there's never been one defeat. And we have the opportunity to be an extension of what God is doing. Amen? That ought to be enough to shout right there. You are not just the hands and the feet, but you're the authority and you're the power wrapped up in flesh just like Jesus was to be able to go into places, lay hands on the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and do all the works of Jesus. Come on. He died on the cross so that you could live with him on the inside of you. And everywhere you go, you're an extension of the kingdom of heaven. We ought to be planting seeds everywhere we go. We ought to be reaping harvest everywhere we go. We ought to be spreading the gospel news everywhere we go. Why? Because we are ambassadors to the kingdom of heaven. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Everywhere we go, down 59. You see these signs, these big billboards. What got me thinking about this is a little while back, talking about clearing some stuff, some trees out up here, and putting a big sign for the church close to 59 where people can see it coming and going. Why? Because we're kind of tucked around the corner, and believe it or not, there are some people in this area that have never even understood or seen this church. They have no idea that it's here. You would have to kind of be on the way to Domino, the back way, to drive up in here on accident. Come on. Ain't nobody going down 2327 unless you're going somewhere over here. It's not a shortcut to nowhere. But we talked about doing that, and it got in my mind, and I thought, you know, if we had a big sign. And this is, I'm not against the sign. I think that it's a great idea. But here's what the Lord began to drop in my spirit, began to drop in my heart, and began to put in my mind. I'm looking out over the course of this church, and there's at least 100 billboards for Christ right here. And you know what? A billboard on the side of the road is stuck in one place. It don't move. It don't go anywhere. It don't talk. It's just on display in one little place. And it relies on other people and other means of transportation to bring people by that thing for it to be effective. Are you getting this? But if you are a billboard for Christ, you don't wait on God to send somebody by you to see it. But hallelujah, you go places, you're moving all the time, you're talking to different people, and your life is on display and advertisement for the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to put it like this. You're an ambassador that is a walking, talking, living, breathing billboard advertisement, living testimony of what God has done, not only in your life, but in the lives of those around you. And when you come in contact with somebody that has a need, God can use you to speak life into that situation. Can I get a witness? Has there been anybody come up on you before while you were in a bad state, while you were in a dark place, while you were strung out and messed up, maybe in your mind, maybe in your body, and they gave you a word of encouragement? Has there ever been somebody that you bumped into at the store and said, I just need to pray for you. The Lord impressed it on my heart. Have you ever been binding your own business and somebody come up on you and the Holy Ghost give a word for you in the midst of a time when you weren't expecting it? They were billboards for the Lord Jesus Christ. They were advertisement for the kingdom of heaven. They're on display. Praise God. So I want to talk for just a little bit tonight. Everywhere we go, our lives are displaying a message. People may never read a tract, they may never crack open a Bible, they may never visit a church, but they are watching, they're looking, they're studying, they're sitting back and they're looking and seeing what's going on. I'm reminded of the story when Paul was on the island of Melita. He had been in a shipwreck. Everybody survived, but they were freezing cold, shivering. The people of that island came up, they got them some firewood, and they built them a fire, and they got them some dry clothes, and they got them situated, and everything's going good, and the fire begins to dwindle like a fire does, and Paul reaches over, and he grabs the bundle of sticks, and he goes to cast it in the fire, and the Bible said that the heat of that fire made a viper, a poisonous snake, come out of that and latched onto his hand and bit him. And when he should have died, the Bible says that those men and women that were there, they said that he survived the shipwreck, he survived the ocean, but he must be an evil man because it's destined for that brother to die tonight. They knew what kind of snake it was, Brother James. I bet you it was, I don't know what kind, I'm speculating, but if you live somewhere long enough, you know which snakes are poisonous and which aren't. They knew that it wasn't just a little old grass snake or a chicken snake. This was a viper. And they said, that kind of bite, he's going to die. And the Word of God says that they sat there looking at him, waiting on him, that he's going to swell up, fall over dead. While they was watching, he didn't give it any mind. He just kept feeding the fire. Let me tell you, there's barbarians in this world. There are people that are good people, people that are bad folks that are sitting there watching if you're going to swell up and die or if your God is powerful enough to do what you've said that he's going to do. And I've got a message for somebody. If you'll stay the course and if you'll be a billboard for Christ, not just one, not just two, but the whole island is going to have revival and the Lord is going to use you to bring him in by the glory and the power of the Holy Ghost. I know it seems like sometimes we go places and we're not seen and not heard. We're just sitting there chilling, not doing anything, not bothering anybody. Nobody's asking us any questions. But I can promise you this, your enemies, people that you don't even know, they are watching. Folks that know that you go to church, they're watching for you to fall. Those waitresses and waiters, they're watching to see just how churchy you really are. Come on. Those people at the bank are watching to see just how good of a steward you really are. And I want to tell you, there's nothing that'll turn somebody off from Jesus any faster than a hypocrite. And so I'm going to talk tonight about some billboards of some things that we need to put on display for the world to see. And number one, we need to be a billboard of love. I don't care how hard it is. I don't care how inconvenient it is. I don't care how tired or how frustrated or how evil or how mean other people are to us. We have got to be a display, a billboard, if you will, of God's love. We've got to reflect the love that has been given to us to other people. We've got to show grace even when it's not fair. We've got to show mercy even when it's hard. We've got to have compassion for folks even if we don't think that they deserve it. Because if we got everything that we deserve, we'd be dead in the grave. But praise God, He was merciful for us. Now we need to show mercy and love to other people. A billboard for Christ should display the love of God. The world ought to see something different in the way that the church folks love people. It's sad when you get on Facebook and all of these sinners and all these people that are openly against God and openly against the things of the Lord love and cherish and help people more than the churches do. Come on. We find false religions, false gods, homosexual, transgenderism. We find all these things of this, that, and the other. We find folks that are lost as a goose in a hailstorm. They're kinder. They're sweeter. They talk better. They stand up for each other. They hug folks. They smile at people better than church people do. Shame on us if we ever get in that position. We ought to make it a point, make it a purpose, make it a number one goal in our life that no matter who we're coming in contact with, they're loved because God loves them, we're gonna love them. No matter how dirty, rotten, stinking, terrible they may be, we're gonna love them in spite of it all. Love is the identifying mark of a Christian. They shouldn't know you're a Christian because you have a suit and tie or because you carry around a thick old black King James Bible or because you have a Jesus fish on the back glass of your car. They should know you're a Christian by your actions of love before you ever tell them anything about your religion. John 13, 34 and 5, a new commandment I give unto you that you love one another as I have loved you, and you also love one another. By this, listen, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. If you have love for another, they're going to know that you're a disciple of Christ. That's part of the problem that we have. We have displays on our billboard for our church. We have displays on our billboard for our Bible study. We have displays on our billboard for our business, for our Facebook, for our TikTok, for our Twitter. We have displays on our life about our kids. Have you noticed what the common denominator is? Me, I, mine. I want to talk about me. I want to talk about I. Number one, oh my, me, my. Huh? We make it all about what's important to us. But God said, I didn't just die for one. I died for all. I didn't just love one, but I love all. I don't have a problem with you loving you and yours, but if that's where it stops, that's where you've got to start working to get other people on your priority list. I'm thankful that your kids are going to heaven. I'm thankful that your husband or your wife's going to heaven. I'm thankful that you've got your stuff together. Then you find somebody that's discombobulated and on the road to hell and go love on them people and show them the goodness of God. Come on, somebody. Praise the Lord. Love should be shown by our actions. 1 John 3 and 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Christian love is more than just saying, I love you. Come on. If we're going to be on display for God, and if we're to bring glory to God, He sees our hearts. He sees the inside. Get it right, and don't just talk about it, but do it. Kind of like that one preacher told me one time, he said, you got to put your money where your mouth is. Yeah? Now, I'm not talking about greenbacks. I'm talking about everything that we do. If we say we love somebody, then prefer them above ourselves. If we say we love somebody, then sacrifice something to better them. If we say we love somebody, then cut them some slack, even though they have done us wrong. Is this making sense? Conditional love is of the devil. Unconditional love is the love of God. Praise the Lord. I got to keep going. We're commanded to love even those who oppose us. even those who hate us, even those that despise us, we're called to love them. Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies and bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now that doesn't sound right, does it? The flesh says, cut them off. The flesh says, reject them. The flesh says, eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. The flesh says, don't have anything else to do with them. But God said, love them. God said, pray for them. God said, bless them. God said, lift them up. God says, turn the other cheek. Don't repay evil for evil, but give them good if they give you evil. I know some of y'all are just sitting there like, Brother Shelby, we get the picture. We don't get the picture. I don't think anybody has even an inkling of an idea of the magnitude of God's love that he gave us. He gave his life. He bled and died for us. And we have a hard time forgiving somebody when they bring us sweet tea instead of half and half. Huh? We got to get over that junk. We got to get over what somebody did to us 50, 40, 30, 20, 10 years ago. We've got to get over it before it even happens. You can't offend a dead man. If you died to that past and you're a new creature, then you're not alive anymore. It's Christ that lives in you. And if he's alive in you, he should be able to love through you. I'm trying to get somebody's attention. I want you to understand that folks are watching how you love people. And they don't care nothing about your God if you don't have his love. Praise God. Trying to help you. Trying to help you. Christ loves you. Love others. Just simple. All right. Ask yourself this question. When other people look at my life, do they see the love of Christ? Or do they see bitter? Do they see anger? Do they see resentment? Do they see selfishness? What are you displaying? And you say, well, Brother Shelby, but people, I just don't have patience for folks. Well, let me tell you, love will cover a multitude of sin. You know why you don't have patience for them? Because you don't love them enough. I'm stomping a toe right now, but I promise it's going to be all right. Your little baby kids, they messed up stuff, they made messes, they did things terrible. Come on. If you don't remember, then you need to come keep mine and jog your memory. They could tear up a steel ball with a rubber hammer. They could tear up and make a mess bigger than you can clean up. They're like the little gremlins. They just get after it. Julia's about as bad as any of them. Lipstick. Oh, yeah, if y'all seen that picture, that little thing got in Mama's purse, had stuck her finger down in that lipstick, painted her face, looked like a little Indian war paint all over. Got it on the wall, got it on the chairs, got it on everything. And I come in and said, what are you doing? She just looked up at me, put the lid back on it, stuck it in the purse, and walked off like nothing happened. I'm here to tell you. But you know what? If somebody would have broke in my house and I'd have caught a grown man in there trying to do that, I'd have shot him. I didn't know what she was doing. You in there messing my house up? He had scared me. I'd have shot him dead right there. Come on. You walk in your house and somebody's in there messing with your stuff. If you got a gun, if you don't shoot them, you're crazy. This is a weird world we live it in. But I love that little baby. She could light the house on fire and burn it to the dirt. Guess what? I'm going to love her. Why? Because grace and love and mercy outruns the fault. Somebody ought to hear this. If somebody does something that makes you hate them, you never loved them in the first place. If somebody does something that you're just so frustrated you can't help but talk bad about them, run them down, gossip about them, just beat them over the head with your mouth, you don't love them enough. It ought to break your heart when somebody makes a mistake. It ought to break your heart when somebody falls and when they have a failure. It ought to break your heart whenever something's going on in somebody's life. Why? Because if you love somebody and care about them enough, what hurts them hurts you. And guess what? When you love somebody and you feel that hurt, you'll bind up their wounds. You'll pick them up when they're down. You'll make a way for them. That's what I'm talking about when the Bible says, if your brother gets caught in a failure or he falls, those of you that are spiritual, restore
restore the man, restore the woman. When you love people, they don't have to go to your church. They don't have to be in your denomination. They don't have to believe everything exactly like you. But you come up beside them and you lift up their head when they're down and you give them encouragement. Why? Because you are an ambassador, the hands and the feet, a billboard for Jesus Christ and the ministry that he bled and died so that you could have access to. It's so good. It's so good. It's so good. Not only do you have to love people, but love is useless. Love has no value without integrity. You ever heard somebody tell you they loved you? And it was a lie. Come on, some of you men, some of you women, you've been told, I love you, baby. I'm going to love you forever. I'm going to be yours and you're going to be mine. We're going to ride off into the sunset. And then you look behind you and they gone. They sent you on the way and they skedaddled the opposite way. Glory. Thank God some of them left you. Because you didn't need that mess anyhow. But I'm going to be real honest with you. There's a lot of people that love people and care about folks, but they don't have the integrity to back it up. And I want you to hear me out. We have to be a billboard of Christ-like integrity. Integrity means that our public life and our private life agree. We all have issues and things that we don't need anybody to know about. We all have quote-unquote skeletons in our closet of our past. We all have things that we've gone through and situations that we've had to handle, and we may not be proud of it. We were all sinners before Christ got a hold of us. But here's the reality. Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Should we put on the facade on Sundays and act all holy, and then on Monday through Friday act like hell? Come on. What we need to understand is that we should be the same person at church, at work, at home, and by ourselves. A lot of times we practice real hard as long as others are watching, but it's when we're alone that integrity really shines. And you say, well, why does that matter? Because the status of your heart is on display when you're alone. And God doesn't care what the public thinks of you. God cares what's really on the inside of your life. Come on. And if we're going to be true, and if we're going to love, and if we're going to do it with a pure heart and good intentions, then we're going to have to be the same person in the altar, in the school, at the football game on Friday night when the referee makes a bad call, or when we slam a 2-pound hammer into our thumb. Come on. Or when somebody has made us infuriated. Huh? Our testimony is only as good as our integrity. Do you hear me, somebody? I'm glad that God brought you from a mighty long way, but if he brought you out and you went right back to it, don't talk about it no more until you get it right. Does that make sense? I'll never forget, I can't give too many details because this is going to be online. There was a gentleman in an unknown land, in an unknown name, and he came down and wanted to testify about once a month how God delivered him from alcoholism. Well, the first time, I believed him. The second time, I thought, he just slipped back and he got back on track. About the eighth time of him coming up, what did it for me is when he still had the alcohol on his breath, trying to tell me he was delivered from alcoholism. Wanted to get the microphone and tell the church how God had delivered him from the bottle. I can't believe that. Nobody else is going to believe that. Are you hearing me right now? Some of us in this place need to understand God cannot use you if you are living a lie. He can't. You got to get yourself in order. Philippians chapter 2 and 15 says this, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as light in the world. How many want to shine like a light in the world? Amen. This little light of mine, we're going to let it shine. Well, guess what? You ain't going to be able to unless you can be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the middle of all the crooked and perverse mess going on. Don't go preach to your coworkers if you ain't living it. Because there's somebody that can see through a phony quicker than anybody, and that's the lost. The church will give you the benefit of the doubt, but they'll give you the doubt of the benefit. We've got to maintain a clean and clear conscience. Acts 24 and 16, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and toward men. Have anybody ever been told to go do something by God and you second-guessed it, or you didn't do it because you knew you had ought against that person, or they had ought against you, or you had had a run-in with them in years past? Maybe the old person that you were before Jesus, and the devil, first thing he does is says, hey, you remember you used to go do da-da-da-da-da with them. You did them wrong. They did you wrong. Y'all used to date the same woman. Y'all used to date the same man. Y'all got past history, problems, issues, circumstances, and situations. Anybody? We live in a little area, Cache County. There ain't that many family trees, and some of them's interrooted. We've all had bumps and bruises and run-ins with different people. But here's the reality of it. When you come to Christ, quit playing bumper boats. Quit bumping into people and causing problems and causing pain and causing issues, and be who God's called you to be so you can have a clean conscience. So if God says, you're my billboard, stand up. You don't have to turn around when certain people come. I'm just trying to be honest. Take care of your business. Oh, this is Sunday night preaching, and I know we got everybody up here looking at me like I'm a nut. Pay your bills. Pay your bills. Write a check, and don't let it bounce. If you can't pay for it, get on the payment plan. Pay your bills. Call somebody you owe money and say, I'm sorry I wronged you. I'm going to pay you out. I'm not getting but a few amens tonight. If you filed bankruptcy, go find the local people and pay them back, no matter what the judge said or not. Be right, because it will speak volumes. And when somebody's wondering who's the real and who's the not, you will have credibility, and they will believe you when you say God's good if you pay your bills. Just trying to help somebody. Don't get mad and don't leave. I don't know none of your credit scores or none of your past business transactions. I'm just telling you what God wants you to do. Come on. A billboard is effective only when the message is clear. A compromised life gives a confusing message about who Jesus really is. Don't say God will provide, but you won't walk out on faith. Okay. Can people trust what they see in my life? Does my character match my confession? It's important. Christ changes the way I live. My Lord, help us. All right, the billboard of consistency. Not just loving people, not just being truthful and upright, having a good conscience, but being consistent. Being consistent. And some of us are this way, and I'm not being mean. Some of it's just your personality. You're like a kite tail in the wind. You're just all over the place. You got up and down and sideways. You're living in a fourth dimension. You don't know anything about consistency because that's just the way it's always been. But God, aren't you glad God's not that way? Aren't you glad God doesn't have bad days and good days and some, hey, I don't want to mess with you today, or hey, I'm going to be really on fire and I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. Well, no, I'm just going to lay out. Be consistent. People cannot rely on you if you're inconsistent. A billboard doesn't change its message every few, well, that one down here does. It's lined up with the red lights. But billboards don't just change their message sporadically. Come on. It doesn't say, have a great day. Hope you have a wreck. Get well soon. Hope you die. That's not how it works. The billboards are consistent. Our testimony should be stable, and it should be dependable. And when people think of us, they should think, that's a stable, consistent person. Right? Because a stable, consistent person is a picture of a stable and consistent God. And if you're going to tell people that the Lord is going to be there no matter what, do for you no matter what, help you no matter what, then be that to them. You're an ambassador, remember? 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God calls us to be steadfast and to be unmovable. Let me give you some examples. I'm having a bad day at work. I'm going to be steadfast. I'm going to smile. I'm going to pray. I'm going to give God glory. I'm not going to be a bad employee. I'm not going to kick and throw stuff. I'm going to do exactly what God wants me to do. I'm going to be the thermostat in the situation and bring normality and bring some control to the atmosphere. I'm not going to let shifting sands and shaking rocks and the foundations of this world bother me. My rock is Christ Jesus. My foundation is God, and I am going to do what He's called me to do. We have to continue faithfully. Galatians chapter 6 and 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Faithfulness is not merely doing right once, but it is to continually do right. We should not be a billboard that God's great. We got a blessing. We got a miracle. God's forsaken me. He's left me alone. I don't know where He's at. I can't. No. Don't air out your dirty laundry. Don't take your despair and your meh and go put it up there on Facebook. I'm going to tell you what Facebook is for. Put a picture of your family on there. Share one time a week something God's done for you, and leave it alone. We don't need your marriage, your baby mama, all your injuries. We don't need to hear about your headache and your gas. I'm just being honest with you, because it makes you look like you're crazy. It makes you look like you're not faithful and you're not steadfast and you don't have your stuff together. You look like an emotional nut. I'm just telling you. And some of y'all think, Brother Shelby, you're being hard on. No, I'm not. Don't be an embarrassment to God or this church. Because if you put junk on Facebook, you're not going to be able to volunteer and help do stuff around here. We ain't letting crazy people give the God we serve a bad name. Walk around like you're somebody. Be somebody, because God called you to be somebody. Put good stuff out there. Don't criticize people. Don't talk bad about everybody. Don't share on cheers and jeers all your bad experiences. If you want to look at it and figure out what restaurant to go to, do it. Don't you dare criticize people. It's demonic. You're the accuser of the brethren. You're sitting in the seat of the scornful. Be steadfast. Be consistently good. And don't let circumstances make you look like a fool. Because the devil will tempt you into putting something out there that makes you look crazy. Just telling you. There ain't many pastors, preachers, nobody that'll tell you the truth. But that is the truth. Praise God. Be an example to others. 1 Timothy 4 and 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. Our consistency becomes an example for others to follow. Some of you older saints, God is nowhere near done with you. He needs you. We need you. The young generation of people need the old saints to be examples of what it's like to do what God's called them to do and to be faithful, even though there's hard times and there's circumstances and there's situations. I'm here to tell you this, people. When you are an example to us, it gives us hope that we can make it. Let that light shine, Mama and Papa. Let that light shine, Elder. Let that light shine, old person. I love, Sister Cooley was talking earlier. She said, I'm going natural. That gray hair, embrace it. It's a sign of wisdom in most cases. But be that example. Show how God has been in your life to others by how you live out your life. The question is, would people describe me as faithful? Is my testimony dependable? Or does it change according to the crowd that I'm around? Does it change according to how I woke up this morning? Christ is faithful, and I'm going to be faithful. That should be the message that we give. I'm going to be what my Father in heaven is, faithful. Getting close to ending. We need to be a billboard not just of faithfulness, not just of love, not just consistency, but we need to be a billboard of truth. And this is hard because in the world that we live in, the truth loves to push out, but the world loves to push it down. The light will shine. The light is shining, whether it's got a bucket over it or not. The bulb puts out the same amount of light. Come on. If I was to turn off the lights and block these windows and it was pitch black in here and put one light bulb right in the middle of this room, it would be able to be seen everywhere. And if I cover it up, it's still shining, but there's something between it and you. Are you picking this up? The truth is the same way. The truth is going to be the truth whether you cover it up or not. All right? Let it shine. Let it do its work. Let it perform its purpose. We live in a world filled with confusion, filled with opinions, filled with deception and lies. God's people are not called to be blown around by the winds of this confusion and this lie, but God's people are called to stand for truth and to display that truth in their lives. Come on, somebody. You got to get a hold of this. Jesus is the truth, whether the Muslims like it or not. Jesus is the truth, whether the Buddhists like it or not. Jesus is the truth, whether the school lets him in or not. Jesus is the truth, whether the prison cells let him in or not. It doesn't matter what people try to do, the truth is the truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And if Jesus is the truth, then we have got to put him on the billboard of our life. When they see us, they should see Jesus. When they hear us, they should hear Jesus. When they feel us, they should feel the presence of Jesus. It's not up for discussion. It's not up for debate. That is it. The ultimate message on our billboard is not one of our own. It's not one about me, 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 I. But it is all about Jesus Christ. God's word is the truth. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Our lives must be built upon the truth of God's word, not the changing words of society. Do you know how important it is to live in harmony with the word of God? It's critical. Because here's the deal, his word is life. It's kind of like this. If God said, I'm going to give you this little pill, if you'll take it every day, you're going to live, but if you don't, you're going to die. What you going to do with it? You're going to eat that pill. You're going to eat that pill because you want to live. The moment you quit taking it, you're going to start dwindling away and die. You might sleep in a day, get real busy, forget it, but the next morning when you wake up and you're half dead, you're going to remember real quick. That's how the Word of God is. It's the bread of life. I can promise you, is anybody in here not ate today? I knew that by looking at you. Everybody in here is ate. You go too long without eating, you will die. The Word of God's the same way. If you don't get in that Word, if you don't have communion with that Word, if you don't let that Word shine and do and change your life, guess what? You're going to wither up and die. Well, let me tell you something. The world outside is dead. And if you can take that bread of life to them, it'll give them life to, my God, help them. I want somebody to hear me. It ain't always just for you. Sometimes your devotion, sometimes your studying, sometimes your reading the Bible may give you a little bit of an experience, but the moment you walk in somewhere, God will show you somebody that that word was for. Anybody ever heard a word or read a word or got in your devotional and it wasn't even for you? And then you was like, what was that about? Then you go out and you walk in. This morning, or last night actually, Casey Sullivan messaged me. He said, you got a revelation from the Lord. I talked to him this morning. What he said was exactly what I was talking about and went in harmony with what I was preaching this morning. I want you to listen to me very carefully. If you're a billboard, the benefit is not always for the post and the sign. It's for the people that are driving by the thing. And if you will have the word of God in the inside of your belly, when it's time for that thing to come forth, the Spirit will bring remembrance, will fill your mouth, and when you speak those things, it's going to turn somebody's situation around and bless them and you. We've got to let that word flow and speak. Somebody say speak. It's mom, deaf and dumb, silence has killed the evangelism of the church. Quit being scared to speak the truth. You're either going to get them saved or make them mad, but you're planting a seed. There's two kind of people. There's the ones that hate grass growing in their yard and some that love death. And if you go in and you go spreading seeds, people that love grass are going to thank you. People that hate grass are going to despise you. But either way, you're planting the seed. God didn't say you could give the increase. He said you plant them seeds. One of you is going to water them seeds, and one of us is going to take care of it, but I'm going to give the increase. We got to get to the point that we speak the truth. Ephesians 4 and 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Truth should never be separated from love, but truth should never be silenced. As long as you've got them two ingredients, love and truth, you're going to see people's lives changed. If you take any of them away, if you have love but no truth, or if you have truth but no love, you're just going to hurt people. Come on. We've got to understand that we're witnesses of Christ, and that truth has got to be spoken. That truth has got to be displayed. What God's done for you needs to be shown. You've all heard it. I've said it 1,000 times. It's one of my favorite scriptures. And you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses unto me. That's Acts 1 and 8. You're the witness. You're the ambassador. You're the mouthpiece. Come on. We're not merely people who attend church. We're witnesses who carry the message of Christ everywhere we go. I know this is a little teaching message. Maybe some of y'all think it's boring, but I'm here to tell you. Do it. Ain't none of us above it. There's not a one of us that are above it. When people look at your life, do they see the truth? Or do they see some watered down halfway mess? I read it yesterday at Ben and Lindsay's wedding, but Matthew 5, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Your life is speaking. Your family's reading it. Your billboard of your life. Your neighbors, your coworkers, your friends, strangers. Everywhere you go, there's somebody reading your billboard. The question's not whether your life is a billboard. The question is, what does my billboard say? You can't hide it. Somebody's going to look. What's it say? The billboard of love. Do you show the love of Christ? Your billboard of integrity. Does my life demonstrate Christ has changed me? The billboard of consistency. Can others depend on my testimony? The billboard of truth. Does my life point people to Jesus and his word? Philippians 1 and 20, I'm ending here. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, this is nothing. Or that is nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now, also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be in life or by death.
We got to make the decision. Are we going to rely on a sign on 59? Are we going to go and tell what Jesus is doing? Can I just charge you a little bit and just talk for, I got 2 minutes before 7:30. We usually get out of here by then. All right? Man, I know you're going through some stuff in your life. I just want to tell you, Lord's really doing some stuff in my life. And I just want to tell you, you ought to come to church with me Wednesday. Can I pray for you or something? Let me do something to help you. Okay, yeah, I'll think about it. Or somebody, hey, I know you've been facing some situations and some things, but let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. Da-da-da-da-da. Can I pray for you? Yeah. Boom. Or better yet, hey, can you hand me a gallon of milk over there? Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Yeah. Hey, you know Jesus loves you, and so do I. Hope you have a great day. That's all it takes sometimes. You don't have to get up here in King James Version and try to sweat and sputter and spit and conjure up some fire from heaven and a prophetic utterance. You just got to say, I love you. You freak folks out. I suggest if you're a man, don't go tell a woman that. Especially if she's, or well, especially if you're married. Yep, get you in a bind. Jesus loves you. But just go be a billboard. And go point somebody, not to this church, but to Jesus. And then invite him here too. Praise the Lord, because he's here. Anybody ready to do that this week? Well, throw your hands up. God, I love you and I thank you and I pray a blessing upon each and every man and woman in this church. I ask you, Lord God, to anoint them from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet. God, let every message that their life displays be of you. Let them see nothing else but Christ and him crucified through our life, through our words, through our mouth. Everything that we speak, let it be uplifting and let it be a message of encouragement for somebody that needs it. Father God, I thank you right now that there's not one devil in hell, there's not one evil spirit, there's not one thing of any kind of power or authority that's going to stop us from being who we've been called to be. So God, let us keep that in our mind, keep us reminded of it, Lord, and let us fulfill your work. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you.